Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And we are joined tonight by our two other Podtacular staff members, Hossost and Godzilla Todd. And then we are joined by another individual, someone that we've been wanting to get on the show in a while. And we're glad to have him on here. You guys may know him as Josh, or you may know him as Halo spelled backwards with a zero. He has a pretty big YouTube channel and puts out some pretty awesome content. So, Josh, welcome to Podtacular.
Hey, how's it going?
Going pretty good. Now, we're going to be going into some deep Halo 5 discussions starting tonight and over the next two or three shows. After this one, we'll finish up on some of the other stuff with our Halo 5 coverage, going into lots of minuscule details. So we'll talk about the Forge, we'll talk about the weapons, the maps, the spectating system, everything. We're going to cover all of it. But as customary for all of our first-time guest hosts, we need to know a little bit about you, Mr. Josh. So kind of give us your background and how you got started with Halo and kind of where you are now with your YouTube channel.
Alrighty, so I think I started around in 2011. I just kind of wanted to put some content out there on YouTube because I was a big fan of a lot of the other Halo content creators with like glitches and map reviews and a variety of stuff that they had to offer. And so I kind of got started with just like a underwater camera, I guess you could say. And it was like HD resolution or whatever. And I thought it was really cool. I lined it up with my TV and I didn't even know capture cards or anything like that existed. So I just kind of started playing around with it and plugged in my computer, did a little bit of editing. Wasn't the best, obviously, but then I eventually got better. And then I found out that capture cards did exist. Then I ended up investing in one, and then things just kind of went from there. Slowly got an audience, and then just kept uploading frequently. And I wish I could upload as more frequently as back then for today, but I've been so busy. But yeah, pretty much started with some cheap equipment, and then I realized you could actually make money on YouTube, so I put some of that towards it for better quality stuff. So I look forward to growing my channel a little bit more in the upcoming year, and I like to do it for as long as I can.
Got it. So as far as some of the YouTube stuff go, that's interesting to hear that you kind of started off with the shaky cam route. I think a lot of early machinimas kind of started off that way, or you would kind of route your Xbox through a camcorder or something like that. So what's kind of been the story of you evolving with that over time? Is there any particular moment where you got to the point where you feel comfortable with doing something in particular and you wanted to kind of venture off that? What were kind of some of the key moments of you kind of doing your YouTube thing?
So I started off by just interacting with the community, like in custom games and stuff, on Halo Reach primarily. And from there, I found so many different custom games that people came up with. And there was a lot of cool stuff that needed more recognition. And so from there, I actually started featuring like a variety of mini games. And then I wanted to actually forge and try to recreate some mini games on Halo 4 from Halo Reach. So I did that for a little while. And then I'm obviously not the best forger because I don't really spend a lot of time on that. But forging's fun, and I got into that for a little bit. And then I just put that up on my channel, and then some people were interested. And I really got involved with the community at Halo Customs, where you can like find custom games and stuff. And from there, I would post on the forums and all sorts of stuff. But it was mainly just random map reviews. And then eventually I found like there's different glitches and that people had on YouTube, and I kind of wanted them to get a little bit more exposure. Or at the time, I guess, they were popular glitches, and I just wanted to kind of get up there and say, hey, I found this at so-and-so's channel. I thought it was really cool, so I'll just show you guys as well. And then I think one of the turning points for my channel was actually like getting shout outs from different channels, and just like the channels with like, I guess, the amount of subscribers I have now. And obviously they have so much more now that I'm actually up at around 13,000. But I would get like 50 subscribers in a day, like after their little shout out, and I just thought that was so cool. So I just kept going and I got motivated to keep creating content.
That's cool. Only if we could get that way. Maybe someday.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about the interaction with the community. I think you guys have been showing really steady growth, and obviously had a lot of cool different people on the show, and you only can keep going up in growth. And I mean, every now and then YouTube specifically and all social media kind of have their little drops, but primarily it just keeps going up, which is really awesome to see.
Right. And Godzilla has a nice new series for those who don't know. We teased it on the last episode and it took a while for us to finally get it going, but we have a new video series thanks to Mr. Godzilla. Do you want to talk to that a little bit?
It's something that I've always wanted to do, and this has been ever since they've actually introduced achievements into the Halo series or Xbox in general. I always wanted to make videos to show people the possibilities of how many achievements you actually can get in just a single playthrough of a level. And that's where the idea came from. So with Dust's considerable help, I came up with the series Achieving Halo, where basically I will be playing through each level and showing you how many achievements you can actually get in a single playthrough. Benefit to that is, you know, you limit the amount of times you have to play through just for, you know, achievement hunting. Me, I doesn't really matter. I play through the levels multiple times anyway. Got into a conversation on Twitter today. Somebody made the comment that I made it look so easy. Like, well, after 10 years of playing Pillar of Autumn on Legendary, it actually did get easy. But with, you know, because I've developed the strategy, you know, over the last 10 years, I've developed the strategy on how to get through it without just getting my butt handed to me. And don't get me wrong, there's playthroughs where I can't go 10 feet without dying.
Yeah.
When I first picked up Master Chief Collection, I don't know how many times I died on Pillar of Autumn when I played it through solo, because the new graphics and the 60 frames per second and all that, it messed with me, because I was used to the old Halo. But anyway, on to, you know, the next one, I'm working on doing the level Halo now, trying to figure out the best way to make it through the level and show you, you know, what the best sequence of achievements are. There are certain achievements that if you're trying to do one, you can't get another one. Perfect example was in my first video, if you want to go for the achievement Meg, you can't go for the he's unstoppable achievement, because you take health damage, because you have to face invincible Marines, you know, and stuff like that. But I hope that everybody enjoys the series. I have a lot of fun making. I've had a lot of fun making the first video, and I look forward to doing the rest of them. I got a lot of work ahead of me for 4 games.
I think it's a really good idea, and it's something that it gives a different perspective on achievement guides, because there's a lot of those achievements out there that are guides that just kind of go through one by one how you get certain achievements. So the way that you're attacking this is actually pretty good. And not to like point out the negative side of things, but with the current state of the Master Chief Collection, that's one of the things you kind of can do right now, is really finish out all the achievements for the campaign missions and finish out everything there. And I know for us, we intend on doing a Lazo run at some point. Don't know when that will be, but at some point we're going to try to do one.
Tried to talk somebody into helping us today, but he didn't want to have any part of Lazo.
Yeah, I saw that. The nice thing about co-op Lazo, though, is you go back to a checkpoint instead of going back to the beginning of the mission.
That is true.
There is that.
You go back to the checkpoint, but like in Halo 4, the enemies also get harder to kill.
Oh, do they?
Yes. They step up their aggressiveness and their health, best way I could describe it, step up when you turn all the skulls on, and anytime you do 4-player co-op.
Well, I know that, yeah.
Yeah, they bump that up. Well, having all the skulls on magnifies that.
I thought you were talking about when you die, that bumps up the difficulty. I'm like, what?
No. Okay. I'm just talking about when you're doing four-person co-op.
Okay.
So that makes Lazo even more fun when you're in co-op, Because, you know, I've played a few of the Halo 4 campaign levels on Lazo using some guides that have been put out on YouTube. And I've made it through them. And I've also done them with co-op. And some of the levels, it's actually easier to do by yourself.
Yeah, that is true. Good example of that is the library in Halo 1.
Yeah.
But it does
a perfect example.
It does really suck, though, because if you die, you do have to restart the entire mission instead of just going back to a checkpoint. And those checkpoints can be so helpful.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Well, Josh, we want to thank you for coming on, and we want to kind of dive right into our Halo 5 discussions. We don't really have anything big news-wise to talk about other than that the content update beta has been delayed. It's still delayed. So when we get more news about that, we'll get more news about it and we'll talk about it.
Did they say when the new expected date is?
No, they have not.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I've seen a lot of people on Twitter and other places really kind of put down 343 in a way that they don't like it, that they're not being transparent. And Haas, you started a conversation with Lurker on Twitter and I completely just ignored it. But I did see one part of it where he was saying that 343 should be completely transparent about what's going on.
Yeah.
And I digress to Frankie's post on NeoGAF that we talked about last week.
That's actually that's where the conversation actually started too, is discussing that post.
Very interesting.
It was an interesting conversation for sure.
Okay.
I mean, perfectly fine with the conversation, but.
Yeah. Anywho, so Halo 5, lots and lots to talk about. I figure we would start off with something pretty, I think, substantial for a lot of different people and a lot of different communities, and that would be the Spartan abilities. So we have our core set of abilities being Sprint, Thruster Pack, Ground Pound, Shoulder Charge, Slide, and what am I missing? I think I'm missing
something. Did you mention, I was going to say Clamor, but is that considered a Spartan ability?
I don't consider it a Spartan ability, but I guess it's kind of in a similar class, but I don't call it a Spartan ability.
I think I would.
Oh, Hover.
Shoulder Barge?
Yeah, it says Shoulder Charge. Yeah, Spartan Charge, Shoulder Charge, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about those to start off with. As far as I know, Sprint is probably the most contested and discussed thing from Halo 5. If you look at the competitive side, everybody on the competitive side is saying Sprint does not belong in Halo whatsoever. If you kind of look a little outside the competitive side, you'll see a lot more people be like, give it as an option. So for the competitive people, let them take it out. For the more casual and the customs community, give them the option to try that on. If you go a little more outside of that, you see people don't really mind if there's one or the other. So as far as how Sprint's going to be ending up in Halo 5, I can pretty much guarantee that there is going to be Sprint to some degree in Halo 5. Every other first-person shooter is going to a Sprint mechanism. Battlefield has it, Gears has it, Call of Duty has it, Titanfall has it. I mean, every single first-person shooter has Sprint. And if a function or a feature works in one game, you can implement it in others. General trend is going to be it's going to be included in a lot of the same genre stuff. I mean, for example, take that like the brake steering in racing games. You wouldn't see just one game have it. I mean, you look at Forza, it has it. Mario Kart has it. Need for Speed has it. All that stuff. So I don't think Sprint is something that is going to be absent from Halo 5. What do you guys think?
I definitely know it's going to be there. It's just the way that the way they're designing the game, the way they're building the maps, I don't see them taking Sprint out. They may make some alterations to it, but it's still going to be there. And I'm okay with it. I know there's people out there that hate Sprint. They don't think it belongs there. But for the most part, I'm glad it's there.
Yeah. I don't mind Sprint. Don't hate it. It's going to be there. I think that's a given. Now, whether it's an option or not, that still up in the air, but I think yes, a lot of first person shooters have it, But the thing Halo's kind of had over the other games is kind of longer kill times. Halo 5 definitely, I think, has the fastest kill times.
Oh my gosh, to me, it feels that way. It's ridiculously fast.
You can get dropped a lot faster, but it still feels a lot longer than a Call of Duty or a Battlefield or even Counter-Strike. That's just how it feels to me. So it's kind of an interesting place because of Halo's shield and health system. I don't know how to properly implement it, and I still think 343 is trying to figure that out.
Well, I think they're off to a good start with the shield not recharging part. It helps. It gives you a consequence for the sprinting, so you have to think about it before you actually, you know, hit that thumbstick to run away from a fight. Do I have a good chance of actually getting to a point where I can recharge my shield so I can re-engage, or is it a futile effort and I should, you know, try to outshoot the guy? So, you know, it definitely adds a new mechanic to winning a one-on-one battle. The thing I like about Sprint the most is that I spend less time trying to get into battle. And that's the one thing I've always had a problem with in Halo's, you know, in the first three Halos. It's the amount of time it takes to get to combat. Now, I know some, you know, in some cases you want to move slow and steady and be aware of your environment, but there's other cases where you'll spawn on the other side of the map from the combat and you're trying to get over there to support your team, and without the sprint, you just don't make it.
So there's something to that, though, that sprint has a very heavy hand in teamwork, because what you basically said it right there, you can get a lot quicker into combat to help your team. But it also, on the flip side of that, and this is where I would actually kind of like to see 343 experiment with having it on versus having it off, is you could almost consider dying and spawning away from your team as a penalty to dying. Because if you're working as a team, you should be covering each other. You should be trying to die as least as possible. So there's like two sides to the sprint coin here. And I would actually really like to see if they could have done it in the beta to where 1 week was with sprint and 1 week was without sprint. I think that would have been an actually better test than just having sprint all in there. Because I think there's pros and cons to having sprint. I really do. I think that the implementation of tying the shields to it does balance out sprint a lot more. Because I know for me, there were plenty of times where I ran away and I thought I was in a good spot to recharge my shields and then I got dropped. So the whole thing of trying to run away from a battle, there's a lot more risk to it now. I would personally tie a little more into that kind of mechanism to where if you did get hit without shields, you actually dropped some speed a little bit, similar to how you did in Halo 4. But as far as taking sprint completely out, I don't know if that would be necessarily the best move. And I think there's ways to implement that kind of mechanism into Halo and make it work.
Well, you got to look at it like this. You got to look at it like this too. They're making maps that are more bigger for the sake of sprint. You know, they're trying to make this sprint's going to be in Halo 5. You know, granted, people are saying, you know, we don't want it. You know, like the more pro players are saying we don't want it at all. But people really need to understand is that Halo's evolving. Every game that is around Halo is evolving. You know, I'm going on the limb and saying this, but like, if Halo doesn't have any change at all, it's going to die. It's not going to be the game to look forward to. Like, it's going to be like another COD in a sense. You know, nothing's ever going to change. You know, it's just, you're going to constantly get the same game over and over and over again. That's all right to some people, but I want to see something to improve the game. You know, sprint in Halo 4 was broke. You know, I will say that. Like, there was a lot wrong with it. But the way that they implemented it with your shields dropping, you know, getting white, like, I like the way they did it with Halo 5. I really do. I really feel that this is something that needs to be in Halo 5. I don't think that it needs to be taken out. I mean,
yeah,
there's always going to be an argument. You know, you have two sides of every community that's going to completely go against one another. You know, that's every gaming community ever. ever made. But you really need to look at it nowadays. You can't go back and say, well, we want the old way of Halo 2, Halo 3, etc. You know, that's not happening anymore. If you want to play Halo 2, you want to play Halo 3, that's what the Chief Collection is there for. You know, 343 is trying to take it to a turn where they're trying to advance it to next gen for everybody to experience. I mean, they're not going to be able to impress everybody. It's not possible.
I just want to take a moment to say hi to our former co-host, Brent Gamer. He's in the chat. Hi, Brent. It's been
so long. Hey, Brent.
So I wanted to get Unishek on here because he's pretty big into the competitive scene. And I kind of wanted to get his perspective on the Sprint stuff because while I know a lot of us here really don't mind having Sprint in there, I kind of wanted to get the competitive side of it with some reasoning behind it, because there's been a lot of people on the competitive side that have just complained about Sprint and most people not giving an adequate reason to why. So I personally do see some good points that I've talked to a few others just kind of in person on Skype, and there are some legitimate concerns with Sprint. The fact that you can run away from a battle and you do have the chance to recharge your shields when you might not have before. But I think another part to that is just how the maps are designed. So when you had maps in Halo 3, you actually had a lot more cover in certain areas, whereas with Halo 4 and Halo 5, you have a lot more open spaces, and you would need that sprint to dive into cover, whereas in Halo 2 and Halo 3, you would have that cover provided there for you. So the way that the game mechanics have changed has also changed the way that they've developed the maps. And if you did want to put in the option for competitive to where Sprint was optional and they turned it off, Truth would be one of those maps up there that would be used for competitive. It's been used in competitive since Halo 2, and they used it competitive in Halo 3. So that map would have to go under a complete redesign for the final game. And for the sake of 343, I'm pretty confident in saying that they're going to keep Sprint in there. So all the maps they're going to be designing is with Sprint in mind, and that would leave the competitive community having to forge almost all their maps.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, personally, I think toggling Sprint and custom games is something that they should take in consideration. Maybe have it for tournaments or something, but in multiplayer, I think they should leave it alone. I really do. I don't think, because that's going to split the community a little bit more than what it already is. You know, you're going to have people that are constantly wanting Sprint, people that are not wanting Sprint. You know, they're going to be two separate things. You know, I honestly feel that you should just leave Sprint how it is. Make more things to punish you that if you do sprint, to make it a little bit more better. You know, you not gain your shields back after sprinting, that's a good way of doing it. But if they can do a couple more things that I came up with that it could help Sprint out a lot. That could benefit to like a lot of different people. Like the pros can honestly like it. I mean, I was talking with a couple people the other day, and I think the reason why people are saying they don't like Sprint is because it didn't work in Halo 4. Not only because it's not, because it doesn't belong in Halo, because this is a new arena shooter. You know, I was talking with people that were playing it constantly, and they use Sprint all the time. If they didn't like it, if they didn't have, they want nothing to do with it, they wouldn't be using it at all. So it's an interesting topic.
And something to having the Sprint case in there, and Crux is, I think that's how you say the name. He said, I think Sprint should be only in the campaign if they're worried about the lore side. And I think just even kind of taking that to the extent of the multiplayer, though, it just makes sense in terms of the multiplayer to have it in there. And I think the lore side kind of does apply to multiplayer, because you do get, I mean, you're a Spartan, you're able to sprint. You read the books and they've been able to sprint since the very beginning. I don't think there's really anything wrong with trying to implement Sprint. I think it's just 343 needs to work on the proper implementation of it. And it's not an easy task, really, especially when it comes to Halo. But if you look at, I mean, Battlefield is a very successful franchise. Call of Duty is a very successful franchise. Halo is a very successful franchise. And those are probably the three largest titles on the Xbox. So looking at Battlefield and Call of Duty, they have Sprint. They're successful. Doesn't mean that Halo can't have a good Sprint system. It being able to get to that point, that's the challenge.
On the lore side, how do we know Master Chief wasn't sprinting in Halo 1, 2, and 3? Just because a Marine can keep up with you? That may just be like a coding issue, honestly. I mean, if they just bumped the other AI speed down and you're continuing to move fast, boom, lore decided. You move your joystick halfway up, you're walking. You move it all the way up, you're sprinting.
Well, in the first three games, if you walked at a full speed, you would outpace the Marines.
Yeah, so how that could be sprint.
As far as the lore is concerned, and this is far as the lore is concerned, Spartans are supposed to be able to move up to, 40, basically 40 miles an hour.
Jeez.
So you're talking about vehicle speed. You know, they talk about, you know, the amazement of watching a Spartan go to full speed, you know, ramping up to their full sprint of, well, they say in kilometers, but it basically works out to be about 40 miles an hour, you know, as far as on the lore side. So, yeah, just walking faster than Marines. Okay, yeah, they're going to walk faster than Marines because they are, you know, they're 7 feet tall. You know, they have a 4-foot stride. You know, they're going to outpace Marines just at a walking pace. You know, what we're talking about as far as being in the lore, we're talking about a Spartan being able to keep up with a vehicle.
Right.
You know, that's as far as on the lore side. In matchmaking, like I said before, I don't have a problem with Sprint. I use it. There's a lot of people that don't like it for various reasons. It's, you know, as far as I can tell, it's here to stay. They will tweak it, and it's still going to be a little bit different than what we had in the beta. You know, the shield recharge time be a little bit longer, or, you know, something. There'll be something that gets tweaked. It would be nice if they had the switch to be able to turn it on and off along with each of the Spartan abilities, or a master switch that turns them all on or all off.
So say there isn't a switch, and I kind of presented this idea previously. I don't know where I presented it. What if the penalty for sprinting with no shields was more drastic than your shields don't recharge? And I pitched it, you bleed out. I mean, essentially, you have a wound in your body if you have no shields or into your armor, and hopefully the bullet is strong enough to penetrate it. But what if there was some sort of bleed out if you don't stop? I mean, it's a high possibility that they don't remove sprint. And I think that's a possibility people need to start to realize. And I'm on the side. I wish sprint wasn't there, but it is implemented. It's part of the game. You can tell in Halo 5 that everything was designed with sprint in mind. Now, all the penalties and everything, maybe not, but I think the penalty should be a little bit greater. Now, getting into the battlefield, like you were saying, once you die, get back in there. Sure, yeah, that makes sense. Get back on the maps. But on the maps we've seen, they were all generally pretty small. I mean, they were the arena-style maps, so you should be back in the action within that 5 to 7 second range for the most part, or be in a position where you can get a shot. But I think Sprint in its current form and what we've seen in Reach and Halo 4 just kind of creates mindless decision making from certain players. Now, some players can use it more in a tactical way, but I think your average Joe or Call of Duty player or whatever other first person shooter, they just come in, they sprint, they shoot. Oh crap, my shields are down. I'm going to try and get around this corner. Oh, I didn't make it, or I did make it. Shields recharge. Let's do it again. That's where I see where a lot of the competitive community is coming from, is it does hurt overall game flow at times.
So one thing that I kind of mentioned earlier, I don't know how much you agree with this, but because of how the maps are designed and how spread out cover is, that sprinting is almost kind of, or well, the sprinting and the maps are kind of molding to each other. Because if you look at Halo 3, take Sand Trap, or no, that's Sandbox, for example, the default map on there, you had lots of cover scattered everywhere, and you had a few open areas that you could get caught in, but for the most part, you could find cover pretty quick. And because of the open design of a lot of these maps that were in Halo 5 and Halo 4 as well, a lot of that cover is more spread out, so you would need an element to get there quicker. And I think Sprint is trying to kind of bridge that gap. Now, there were some recommendations that people made where just increase the base player speed, which could work, but I think the Sprint gives an interesting option in there where you're sacrificing being able to shoot your weapon in exchange for speed. And in the case of how they implement in Halo 5, the ability to recharge your shields. Now, I think from a lore perspective, they could also introduce something in there to where if your shields are down and you're taking fire, then you slow down or you drop out of sprint. Something like that. I think that would also...
like a stumble.
Yeah, because you're taking damage directly to your armor instead of shields. I mean, that's something that could fit very well in a lore perspective.
Isn't that kind of on the flinch category, though, that won't be there? I mean, when shooting, obviously, no, but...
your reticle wouldn't be shaking. I think the flinch is specifically to your reticle shaking when you get hit.
Well, that's what D-scope comes into play. Like, when you get shot.
D-scope doesn't matter if you're not scoping in.
Right.
I'm in the field of I don't zoom in with my BR.
Oh, I do if I'm doing
almost
it.
All cases. I do if I'm long range, but
right.
Like if I'm in a firefight that's that longer range, sometimes I try to, but you know, sometimes I feel like I'm adding an extra step when I could just be peppering the bullets because you don't have better. I mean, there's not really a penalty, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I found myself using, like, aiming down the sight more, or the smart scope more. And that's, like, granted, shooting from the hip is something that I used to do. And, like, even in Halo 4, like, I never even looked down the reticle at all. But, I don't know. I feel that in Breakout, I used it a lot for that, like, more aiming down the map.
Yeah, that was very useful, because you nail those three shots, that person's done, whoever you're trying to get. I think another thing for the flinch, just in terms of lore perspective, is you flinch if you don't have any shields and you're getting shot. That would make sense. And then that's one of the things I'm going to recommend in my big write-up to 343, which I gave these guys homework to do that. So if you saw any tweets about that earlier in the week, that's why. We're going to be writing some pretty hefty reviews on Halo 5 to give back to 343 as feedback.
So do you guys not think a bleed out would work as a kind of counter?
Not.
Why and why not? I mean, honestly.
I mean, personally.
Yeah, personally, for the amount of time that I sprint, a bleed out really wouldn't make that much of a difference the way I use sprint. Because usually it's, you know, I'm, you know, 5 feet from a corner, I'm trying to get around that corner just to get to cover.
But for the player that's trying to run away?
Well, that's basically what I'm doing. I'm trying to get to cover, so I'm trying to run away. But, you know, and it doesn't really affect me getting back into the fight. But, you know, the point is, you know, I like the stumble idea. That's not a bad idea. The bleed out, I mean, it's another way to add an additional penalty. I just don't know that it needs that much of a penalty.
I feel that them doing something with the shields is going to... I didn't find anything wrong with the whole shield thing. I mean, granted, there's been several cases where I ran in there. I sprinted like maybe a second just to get away from cover, whatever, and it took forever to get back. But like for the people that are constantly sprinting all the time, I always ran into somebody where someone on my team shot the other guy that was running away from me. Like when I was sitting there talking with somebody, I mean, Toss, you were right there. I said that guy was running around, you know, Blue Bend or whatever. You shot him like with a head. You know, his shields were down. Everything was fine. So I honestly feel the way they're doing it with shields is almost, it's they're doing that's the right way of doing it. They can maybe add something a little bit different. I don't know what, but the whole bleeding out thing, I think they could. I don't think it's gonna make that much of a difference.
I really think it would, because there. I mean, we may not be, but I ran into it a lot where, especially playing by myself, where I'm not able to really communicate with my teammates, and a person ducks away, and with the amount of cover on these maps, it was crazy. I couldn't believe how much cover was on some of these maps. And I get it because of the faster kill times, but when you get the faster kill times, sprint, and all that cover, it just, I felt like the sprinting was encouraged. I that's kind of how I felt. It was sprinting to get away. I'm okay with sprinting, but I'm not okay with sprinting as my defense mechanism. I'm not.
Well, going with that, I mean, you're always going to have that individual that's going to sit there and run away from every fight that he gets into. That's a given. And especially with thrusters, it makes it twice as worse because they can thrust and then run so they can dodge your bullets a little bit more. What I think something that they could introduce is that if you're in the process of sprinting, you can't thrust. Like give it like a 10 or 5 to 3 second time delay before you can thrust or something again, because that is something I also noticed too, is that when someone was in the middle of a firefight, they're about to go down, they thrusted away real quick and then they just took off and they survived, and then that goes that kill that you could have sit there and had, and then his enemy teammate or whatever could have rocketed you or whatever it was. So it something like that they could do. I don't know, like that there's several options they can look, and I'm sure that you're going through every single one of them as we speak. I mean, that's the reason why they had a beta almost a year early, so they can see what it is that they need to do.
Yeah, thruster is one of those things I think needs to be, the recharge needs to be delayed. And I think that's another thing too, that if you're sprinting, you're technically using part of your thruster pack to sprint. So after a certain duration of sprinting, you shouldn't be able to use your thruster pack. Like, I think the energy system, for lack of a better term, for the thruster pack and sprint should be tied to one another.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, going and playing, the thrusters recharge way too quick. What was it? 2 seconds?
3 seconds.
They were 3 seconds? Like, they were back almost instantly.
Yeah, and it needs to be longer.
Yeah, they need to...
5 to 7 range just would be perfect.
I think experimenting with that would be good. Because you can
another
just...
Another beta.
Because I know a few firefights I got into where I thrusted around maybe 3 times before one of us finally died.
Yeah. That's another thing. You're playing Ringing Around the Rosie around all these obstacles. I mean, it was annoying, especially with people with SMGs, because they can take pot shots at you. Even in Breakout, like I found myself doing that several times.
That SMG is so powerful.
Me and Haas were in the middle of a game. Me and this guy were going literally around the circle. He's telling me, go look left, look right. You know, like we're going literally back and forth. Thruster kind of help that, because you can go away, like thrust away from that continual spin. I mean, granted, you'll get out of there in a particular time or whatever, but I feel that they could do something a little bit better with thrusters. Halo 4's was all it that was not exactly the greatest. Like, I like what they're doing with this, especially like I thrusting to get on to clamber on something was extremely useful, I will say that. Especially when I was trying to get away from somebody, I could clamber, jump over, and then get into cover. But I don't know. It's something that they're going to have to tweak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, earlier you guys were talking about the whole term of bleeding out, and I just want to make sure I'm getting it right. And some of the viewers may have the same question or something, but are you guys referring to like the recharge of the sprint, or is that something totally different?
No, he's actually talking about your health.
Yeah, like you if you keep sprinting with no shields and you continue to use that as your defense mechanism, you die because you're not giving your body a second to recharge the shields. And, you know, if they need to lower it, the biofoam, something gets inserted. I don't really care. But allowing that to also affect your health, not just your shields, that's what I was kind of leaning towards. I just think it's a better way to encourage people not continuing to run away because they're getting shot at.
That actually makes a ton of sense. That's a really good idea.
I think the bleeding out to death though isn't a great idea. I think there's like maybe a rate drop off, and then once it gets to like a quarter of your health, then that's when it really starts to that's when it starts to level out and stop. Maybe you start slowing down.
I'm not talking like, you know, 3 seconds of continued sprinting. I mean, I'm talking probably 5+ seconds, but I just think it's a really good way of kind of deterring person from continuing to sprint. One of my favorite old Halo pros, Karma, in his FFAs, he never ran away. He always turned around and started shooting person. And the reason he always put him behind it is, well, you don't know that I'm going to lose that BR battle regardless. I mean, that I think it maybe can encourage a person to, well, maybe I don't want to sprint away because, oh, look at where the route I may have to take. I probably can't stop sprinting and I would die. So I think there's got to be some sort of way. I don't think it's perfect the way they have it right now.
Well, the thing is, you got to look at it like this, too, is that if you're going to constantly pack at the person that, or, you know, limit the person that to when they do sprint, no one's going to want to do it at all. They have to balance it into the people that do want to sprint. Yeah, they're going to get punished, but you're not going to sit there and have people dying left and right because they are. I mean, it's one of those things where they're going to have to find that perfect balance. Honestly, I feel the shield thing, they're doing it right. They can do something a little bit differently. Like maybe, I don't know. Like there's okay. A lot of things.
Not to interrupt. Sorry. Okay. Halo Wade put in the chat. I don't know if you guys saw it. What if you can't sprint after you have no shields? Rather than your shields not recharging. I think that's awesome. You can't get away. Like, literally, your way of getting away is walking away.
But I think that's the option that 343 is giving you. Or if you don't want to sprint, then your shields will start to come back. Well, but another thing to that I would also consider is maybe make your shields... that's actually...
I'm kind of... in awe of that idea.
But I think 343 is giving you the option to kind of weather that out. You're making that decision to either...
Well, with the amount of cover, there's not much to really consider. Like, what was the tower map? I can't remember the name. That map had...
Empire?
Empire. That map had so much cover and clutter.
That is true.
Like that's the first when he says that, that's the first thing I am visualizing is a person with no shields. They still have options because of the amount of cover they have there to dip out. Now, not in every point on the map, but I don't know. I'm
going on the other coin of that though. You got to look at it like this too. There's so much cover in Empire. People that don't say for instance there is no sprint, it's going to be a slower game.
No, I'm not saying no sprint. That's not saying
no. Well, I know I'm saying that, but I'm saying like people that are going to constantly leave to get out dodging stuff, they're going to go hide behind cover for what? The seconds that they're going to get the shields to recharge. While they're waiting in that particular moment, someone can make that call and say, well, he's hiding behind here or behind by there. I think what they're doing is they're trying to make the gameplay faster. That's what they're doing. They're trying to do it. That
would make gameplay faster.
But people are still saying that they don't want that, though. They want the gameplay to be they want the gameplay slower.
No. Who's saying that?
No.
Like,
everybody knows the gameplay needs to be faster because it can't compete at the slowest pace. Everybody is complaining about Halo 2 Anniversary. The HCS is boring to watch. I hate to say it, but it is boring. It is so slow, the excitement isn't there anymore.
Gameplay needs to be faster. I think Halo 5 is too fast because... you get so much action so quick, you don't have time to actually sit and absorb what's going on. And from Halo 2 and Halo 3, I loved those high intensity moments where you had those certain stalemates and you would have those like coordinated rushes. And it's so fast paced and there's so much going on. It's hard to keep track of everything. To me, it's too fast. Honestly,
on that point though, we've only seen the arena maps. We haven't seen what their mid to large maps maybe look like or feel like, and I kind of wish they would have maybe given us a glimpse into that crystal ball, just because I think that as an overall Halo big picture we can see that, but I think it would be it, I think that would be a way to a an idea to test out.
What I will say, for what you were saying before, that the maps are really cluttered. They need to take some of that out. I'll say that much right now. That will make gameplay a little bit more better. Because, I don't know, what was the the opposite of truth.
Regret.
I think that was that map. I didn't like it at all. Like it was too congested. Like anytime I sit there and ran, there was always a wall right next to me.
That's funny because I have the exact opposite opinion. I loved Regret
now,
and I hated Truth.
Yeah, no, I'm the opposite of that. I think Truth was the better of the two maps.
As to the overall like pace of the game, because I know some people are kind of getting tired of the sprint talk, and we can go back to touch on the armor abilities or the Spartan abilities, excuse me. But like the overall pace of the game you guys were mentioning earlier, I'm not quite sure the actual like time to kill ratio versus like Halo 4 and Halo 5 and stuff. I'm sure they're similar, but yeah, Halo 5 does seem awfully fast at first. But what I found is I didn't really like it at first either, but I kind of see where 343 is headed with it, because like when people do get out of the way, it adds like another element for like the people to like come chase you down. Like even if you can sprint, like people can sprint with you and try to find where you're, like they can just pretty much stalk you down behind those, that cover and stuff. So it kind of adds a different sort of gameplay style, but I think it's just kind of interesting what they're trying to do. And as for like Halo 3 and Halo 2, I actually went to UGC St. Louis, and that was my first ever competitive gaming event. And like I didn't think it would be very interesting to watch at all, but it was actually pretty like because the maps were made to a certain scale, it was pretty exciting to watch. So going back to you guys talking about the mid-sized maps and the big team battle maps and stuff like that, that would have been prime if it was in the beta too, to kind of give what the different gameplay feels on different size maps. But yeah.
Well, I definitely agree with the fact that the Halo 5 gameplay is extremely fast. The matches seem to just be, forgive the term, an all-out sprint to 50. You know, going back to even just Halo 4, I could really feel the difference between the pace of a Halo 4 match versus a Halo 5 match, and there's a huge gap there. At least that's what I perceive as far as the actual game speed, as far as how quickly kills were showing up, how fast people traversed the map. It felt slow. And then, I jump into a Halo 2 match or a Halo 3 match. And at this point, I feel, I feel like I'm at a crawl the whole match. It's just the different games play differently. I honestly kind of like the pace of the Halo 5, of the Halo 5 gameplay.
Yeah, I like it fast like that. I mean, granted, I like the fast pace of a lot of games. You know, going back to Halo 2 and Halo 3, it is slow. I will say that. And it's kind of irritating. I want to go and it's like, why can't I sprint? Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? Like, I want Halo, like, I enjoyed the Halo 5 beta a lot because it was that fast-paced gameplay that I was hoping it was going to be. But I do feel that they could slow it down a little bit, because in certain matches, it felt like the timer was almost like not even there. Like we were just going to 50 in a matter of like 5 minutes. Like that was too quick. Like some of the matches that we played.
And I think with how the sprint just works with Halo and the maps, on the one hand, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, but you take it out, it does slow the game down, which is something that I wouldn't mind seeing. So I don't know. I think there's something with, for me personally, just seeing how fast it is, that there's a lot more things open to chance happening than actual team coordination. And if they're really focusing on the team aspect, I think the game needs to be slowed down just a tad. Because I know, like, even just playing Call of Duty, things are way too fast. And I don't want a game that's like on the speed of Call of Duty. I don't. And Halo 5 has kind of gone in that direction, and that's where I'm like, whoa, slow down a little bit. This is something that I'm not quite comfortable with.
Yeah, I mean, you can go into Call of Duty, get shot 3 or 4 times, and you're dead. You know, Elite, like,
get shot once and you're dead.
Yeah, I can empty almost an entire clip into somebody, and then someone can just turn around and pistol whip me in the head.
Yeah, it's just...
That's why I play Halo. There's a little more balance aspect to it.
Yeah, I mean, I've played a lot of Call of Duty, like Modern Warfare 2. Like, the balancing on that game was just broke. And going into Halo, I did like how you had that battle between one player versus the other. You know, you don't have that split second, oh, I'm done, you know? Like, to me, that's just ridiculous.
So, we kind of killed that discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sprint's something that we'll probably pick up again when we have some more guests on. That's going to be the ongoing discussion. But let's
talk about the never-ending debate.
Oh my gosh. Yes. So let's talk about some of the other Spartan abilities. So we have the thruster pack, which we've kind of touched on already. I think it's a little overpowered at the moment, but I do like the fact that having it as a core ability is something that is cool. If we did see Sprint go out for some reason, I think keeping the thruster pack in there would actually be a good aspect to kind of bridge the gap between no Sprint and Sprint. So at least keep that in there, I think, would be a good option. And being able to have the ability to go forwards, backwards, and left and right with the thruster pack, I think is a pretty cool idea as well. Now, I do think it needs to be nerfed, like we said, in terms of how long you have to wait before you can use it again. I do think that the thruster pack energy system should be tied in with the sprint system. What do you guys think about that? What are your thoughts on thruster pack?
I agree with the longer recharge time. There were several fights where, you know, just like you were saying, you go back and forth for a couple of minutes because, you know, you're each dodging back and forth. And of course, you can't land the shots. So, you know, I do agree with the longer recharge time on the thruster pack. Overall, I like the thruster pack. It's nice that if, you know, you're right next to a wall, you can just dodge back. You know, in Halo 5 is the first time I've ever really used a thruster pack. And, you know, I don't use them in Halo 4, and I didn't use the evade in Halo Reach, which would be, you know, pretty equivalent to it.
Mm-hmm.
It just never has been part of the way I played, but it seemed to integrate with, you know, with the control layout I was using. It seemed to fit into the gameplay for me, is what I'm trying to say, I guess. So, you know, other than the length of time between the recharges, that's about the only thing I've got.
I liked the thruster a lot, and I think it was kind of like a chess match when you were to use it or not use it, or when your opponent was using it. That was probably, along with Clamber, my favorite thing they added. And I guess the recharge rate on that could probably get changed, but outside of that, I was really satisfied with it. And if that were to go away or anything, I actually think I'd be a little disappointed with that direction on that.
Yeah, I mean, the thruster pack, I felt they did a great job with. I used it a lot when grenades were coming towards my way, especially like if you couldn't really. I mean, that's another thing they're going to have to do with sprint, but I don't even go into thruster. But like, I feel that they did a really great job with that. Just maybe longer charge times between each thrust you could use. I think it's pretty much perfect apart from how fast you can do it. Like, I like it a lot. Like the distance that you can thrust away from something, I feel, is perfect. I don't think if you do a little too less, I think it's a little, like, if you do a little too more, I think it's a little too overpowering. Like if you thrust away from something a little bit more. But apart from that, I think it's pretty much spot on.
Yeah, I kind of agree. The thruster pack, I didn't really I didn't really care for the recharge rate. Like, it never really occurred to me that I needed to use the thruster pack as much as, I guess, I didn't really felt the urge to actually, like, abuse the function. Like, I didn't need to use it every, like, 3 seconds. You guys said it's for recharging at this moment. But if they were to increase it, like, it wouldn't really affect me a whole lot. Like, Thruster Pack is kind of one of those situations, last resort, that you need to kind of evade from something. But yeah, I like it. I like the ability, added a pretty good function to the game, so I don't really mind it.
Think we not much debate on this one.
No.
Yeah.
Pretty unanimous here.
Yeah.
So next one would be, I guess, Clamber, although it's not technically a Spartan ability, and at least in the way that I envision it, it is kind of listed in there as something that's new that you can do. I personally like the idea. I don't think it really adversely affects gameplay all too much.
It's nice to have the extra route into, you know, into different spots with the Clamber. Because, you know, just basically, you know, put your head on a swivel, because you have to check if you're, you know, if you're, you know, playing, what was the territories game? Strongholds. You really need to put your head on a swivel to make sure that, you know, all the openings you're watching, which, you know, gives it that extra level of, you know, difficulty, because, you know, now, well, instead of having just the doors and, you know, a window where they jump through, you know, a big open window, you've got this extra option where, you know, there's, okay, well, there's this window over here, but, you know, right now everybody's thinking, oh, they won't come through that because it's a small window. You know, it's not big enough to jump through. And then next thing you know, a Spartan comes crawling through it and, you know, you're in the middle of battle again. I like the idea. It seems to help me move around the map a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm relatively decent at the crouch jumps. Some of the more difficult ones I have trouble with, but, you know, for the most part, I've always been able to do the crouch jumps. A lot of times I never used them because they were expected. This Clamber kind of adds, you know, just that different angle, and I like it.
I wish the one thing on Clamber I kind of don't know how I feel about, they don't really indicate where you can clamber and cannot. And I found myself a couple times looking like an idiot trying to clamber on something that, oh, that's about the same height as this place over here that I could. Oh, but I'm still here jumping. Why can't I grip this little ledge here? So I don't know if there would be some sort of cue that would allow that, but I kind of caught myself a few times just jumping in a corner or at a ledge waiting. And that's partly map familiarity, but.
No, it's the same with the crouch jumps. You know, unless you know where they are, they're not that obvious. Mm-hmm. The nice thing with Clamber is that a lot of the routes that you can clamber through are relatively obvious, you know, just by looking at them. Don't get me wrong, there are some of them that I was doing the same thing, Hoss. You know, I said, well, I should be able to do this, and then sure enough, I can't.
And then you die.
Yeah. I'll go up here to get away, or I'll go up here to get a better sight line, and next thing you know, I'm got hit by the sniper, because I've been trying to grab an edge that I can't grab.
I think that's something that, kind of what you were talking about, Hoss, you just, or what was it, guys, that you just kind of learn where those parts are, where you can, like, similar to the crouch jumping, you just learn where you can clamber, and then you go from there. Because if you think about it, a ledge is a ledge. I think that's pretty well defined, and given that they're able to do it with the force system, I think their ledge detection is probably pretty good for Halo 5. So as far as being able to actually climb up to something, I think it just takes going into the map, figuring out where that is, and how to use it.
It's just like, you know, before when they, you know, the pros would go in there and find all the trick jumps, all the crouch jumps, all that stuff. You'll learn it. As you play the map, you'll figure it out. You'll see somebody else do it, and you'll say, oh, I can do that here. So, you know, it's, you know, just like, you know, Haas was saying, it's map familiarity. The more you play it, the more you learn about the map.
Right. I mean, most people will go in whenever, like, for competitive teams, they'll go in and play private matches. Some of them will go into Forge and figure out where stuff is, and they'll just load up a map and start jumping around, moving around, seeing where they can and can't go, that kind of thing. So, I mean, a big part of it is knowing the map. That is a huge part of the competitive side of Halo. So, I don't think... I don't know if your case, Haas, was something that was you just weren't familiar with it, or if you, there was actually just like maybe issues with the Clamber system itself and you weren't able to actually jump up.
Yeah, I don't know. I've watched the gameplay a couple times from that, and I still think I should have been able to jump that in relation to some of the other jumps I was able to.
I distinctly remember a few instances where I thought the same thing, even on truth, jumping up to those little hidey holes. I would jump up, and I think I would be high enough to clamber, but I wasn't, and I actually got killed doing that a few times. And
yep.
I think that is probably just maybe the way, or I thought at the time that was just the way I was jumping. I was jumping into the wall, which maybe not jump as high, mm-hmm. versus actually getting that sprinting run jump and then being able to clamber. So I don't know the intricate details of the clamber system. Maybe with the sprinting, you do get a little higher of a jump, or maybe it was just me jumping into the wall and not being able to jump up as high. But, you know, it's a beta. There's possibility of bugs or the yep. system not fully fleshed out. So if that is the case, I think we'll see that fleshed out. And I think, I mean, the clamber was pretty intuitive, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it added a nice new element just to it.
Some points.
So did you guys set your settings to hold to clamber or tap to clamber?
Tap. I don't like holding anything except for crouch.
Yeah, it was definitely tap for me.
Which leads us to another ability.
Which I think has been a unanimous, we don't care about it.
Lead in.
And that's the Spartan slide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Sure. You were going with slide?
You were talking about crouching.
What were you thinking about?
I was going with the hover.
Oh.
Well, it could have gone either way.
I thought most of us were talking about the Spartan slide. Who else rocked that segue? am I the only one that thought about the Spartan slide? Or so, did someone else think that?
Oh, I thought
yeah.
I was with Haas with hover.
Oh.
Hey, we're 50-50.
How's that possible? There's five of us in here. Who's undecided?
Yeah.
Josh hasn't commented yet.
70-20?
Josh has the deciding vote.
I am not for slide.
Okay. So he was thinking slide too. See? I win. There you go.
But Penz is on my side and he counts as four.
He's not in here. He's in the chat. But he's not on this podcast. No offense, Penz. But yes.
His presence is here, so it counts.
Dang it. I need more people on my side. Jack, Brent, Receptor, you better vote on my side. And Jack and Receptor count as two because they're overseas, and Brent counts as three because he was a previous co-host.
So maybe let's gloss over sliding. No.
Yeah. Yep.
No.
There you go.
Nope.
Nope. Useless. Not helpful. Okay.
Currently.
I don't think there's really a way to make it to where it's any more effective.
Villa, trying to get some discussion going.
So what would you change?
What would you change to make this more effective? This honestly stems from my gameplay of Destiny. In Destiny, you have the slide, and there are people that do make very good use of the slide with a shotgun.
Yeah, that can go crash
and
burn.
Have a shotgun.
It can. I'm not saying it's foolproof, but like I said, it's a mechanic that could be used. Whether it will be effectively be able to be used in the full game, don't know, because we don't have access to all the weapons. Like I said, it's something, and that's where it stems from, is, you know, doing PvP in Halo Destiny or in Destiny. I've seen the shotgun slide combo work very well for some people, and I've seen it work horribly wrong for some people. So
I think the slide should be as forgotten as the Halo 2 ending.
Oh, you know that was your favorite ending, man. Hoss.
Ouch.
Shot fired.
Oh, jeez. Wow. Oh, my.
Dang.
Hoss getting angry on the podcast. Right? Is there something else you want to say, Hoss? Is there anything else?
He just dropped the mic and like left the building. My goodness. Wow.
No, I'm with Hoss, though. The Halo 2 ending wasn't exactly the greatest. We'll say that much.
Yeah, because it was Halo 3.
I think probably.
Anyway.
There you go.
So that's a really, like, I've played with Sprint or the slide on Destiny, I don't use it. I find it useless. Like it's not an ability that I find anything attracted to it at all. I mean, granted, there are some cases where people can use it effectively with the shotgun or even with a fusion rifle on Destiny, but that's in Halo. I just feel that it doesn't need to be there. Like, I really don't. It doesn't need. I seen maybe two people at most use that thing. Like, that's about it.
Oh, they could pull it out and I would never know it was gone. Because I honestly didn't even goof around and try it. You know, I knew it was there. I knew how to do it. I just didn't bother.
Yeah.
Because I never found a situation where it would be helpful.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Okay. And on to the other subject.
We didn't have a shotgun in the beta either, so I guess
that's basically what I'm saying.
I guess maybe if we were to try it out with the shotgun, I would reconsider it. But judging just from
so limited though. Unless they want to go the Destiny route and have a secondary power weapon,
I just don't.
Which I would puke at.
Well, I mean, you carry two weapons already.
Yeah, come on. If everybody had a shotgun or an SMG,
no, I'm not saying everybody. I would
rip my eyes out.
Slam my head to the TV.
Yeah.
Through my monitor.
I was just using Destiny as an example because that it's someplace that has, you know, two things that currently Halo 5 does. Because I'm sure they're going to have a shotgun in it, and they do have the slide mechanic.
Call of Duty has slide in it too, which I don't find anything attracted to that at
it
all.
It does?
I think so. Does it? Am I thinking of the right game? What am I thinking of?
Modern Warfare 2 was the last one I played, and they didn't have slide in it.
Advanced Warfare, I think, has slide in it.
Gears has slide.
I think you're thinking of Ghost. Ghost had slide.
If it
Call of Duty Ghost had slide.
Yeah, it was good.
I don't know about Advance. I only played until I found Kevin Spacey, and then my life was complete, and I turned it off.
He's like ghostly looking self, and
Dead eyes.
That is the only reason to play that game.
Zombies. It has zombies now.
I need to play it at some point.
Yeah, but it has Kevin Spacey, so yeah, who cares Kevin about
Spacey.
Zombies?
Yeah, Kevin dude, Spacey it's is good.
It's all John Malkovich. That's what it's all about, dude.
Anyways,
okay, so
I think the general consensus is sliding we don't really care for right now. Let's move on to hover.
Thank you, come again.
Yeah, I think as far as I'm concerned with hover, I like the idea of it. It's hard to really decide on whether or not to use it though, because there's some instances where I really like using hover, but then there's other instances where it's like I zoom in and I want to fall because I'm anticipating a certain angle when I fall to get somebody or something like that. And I don't want to have to reach over and press, crouch to get out of the hover and then have to move my finger back to the thumbstick.
With the hover mechanic, it's, yeah, I'm with you, Dust. You want to drop off somebody to, you know, whether it be to just drop off to get a different angle on somebody, or you drop off to just, you know, come up to assassinate them and you bump your zoom button. It can be annoying, but at the same time, you know, like on Truth coming up one of the lifts, there were several times that, you know, somebody was coming into the room just as I was coming up the lift and they'll chuck a grenade right about where I'd land. I'd hit that hover button and avoid the bulk of the grenade damage and still be able to put some shots on them. So, you know, it's kind of, if it's there, you know, you either, you know, set it to where you have to actually touch a button for it to work and get used to it that way, or, you know, adjust your gameplay style to work around the, you know, drawbacks of having the hover, you know, the hover set.
Yeah. And that was something I just had to get used to when I was playing, because I had it to where the hover automatically kicked in when I zoomed in.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, same here.
Most of the time it was useful. I got to get a lot of kills and shots off of it, but there were a few times where it's like, man, if only I didn't have it on right now. And there's so much stuff to use now with the core Spartan abilities and everything else that you can only do so much with the controller.
Yeah, they're running out of buttons.
Yeah. Well, they're running out of fingers to do so much with at the same time.
Maybe that's why SCUF's getting so popular.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Microsoft should license SCUF to make their controllers from now on.
I will say, though, I play with the default controller. I instantly went to Bumper Jumper. Like, I felt like Bumper Jumper in Halo 5 feels really good. I tried all the other ones. I don't know. Like, it just, I don't know. Like, they, like, Green Thumb, what was the other ones? Green Thumb? Wasn't that the other one? Or Boxer? Green
Thumb?
Or
Green Thumb was one of them, yes.
I tried them all. And I think
Boxer is always one. Fish Stick.
Ugh.
I still can't get over that one.
I actually heard that Fish Stick was actually pretty useful for some people in Halo 5.
Eh, they can keep it.
That means you like it, if they can keep it in the game.
Yeah, they can keep it in the game, but the other people can keep it too. So I don't want nothing to do with that fish stick.
I mean, I use Green Thumb mainly for the simple fact that it changes where the melee button is. It, you know, puts it under my right thumb, where most of the other controls use the right thumb for zoom. And I have this bad habit of clenching my hand when I pull the trigger. So if, you know, anybody's ever playing with me, if you see me fire and then immediately melee, you know what's going on.
Yeah.
That's why I like Bumper Jumper. You got your bumper right there next to your trigger.
Yeah.
And I hold my controller, my index finger is kind of laying over the corner of the bumper and then onto the trigger.
Well, see, the reason I do it that way is so that when I pull the trigger, I don't zoom in.
Oh, see, yeah, I got my right thumbstick as my zoom.
Yeah, see, that's why I use Green Thumb, is because it changes that from zoom to the melee, which I can recover from the melee a little faster than I can from a zoom. The zoom, you know, especially when you're talking like sniper rifle or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, well, speaking of sniper rifle, I don't know if anybody else had this problem. It could have been just my controller, but when I was using the default controller scheme, the sniper didn't go through, like, it only had one, it was at times...
Five.
Two? It was a five? Like, it was times five, and that was it. But when I used Bumper Jumper, it had five times five and times ten.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, it's interesting. Like, I like the fact that you could sit there and click on the zoom real quick, and then let off, and it'll immediately do. I mean, granted, you could sit there and say the same thing when you can use the left trigger and aim down, but... I don't know. I feel Bumper Jumper was probably the best out of the controller schemes.
I think for...
Yeah, the buttons schemes were awful.
Yeah. I think for the final, they're going to be changing it up. I know for me, I used the Halo 4 control scheme.
I've heard a lot of people say that they used the Halo 4 controller scheme.
They
said it helped a lot.
Yeah, I used them.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I used the Halo 4 control scheme. I thought it was pretty good. But what you brought up with the Bumper Jumper, that was the one with the times five and the sniper rifle, you said?
Yeah.
Had five and ten.
The default had that issue as well, because if you had the zoom on a trigger, you'd only be able to zoom up to the first level. But if you had it on a button, you could cycle through the zoom layers.
That's interesting. Like, it could be an advantage depending what your play style is.
I found it really useful. And that might be why I did better with that sniper rifle than I, you know, have in the past.
I've seen a lot of the pros use Bumper Jumper for that reason when they were using sniper on some of their streams. So it's going to be interesting to see where people go.
Yeah.
And what they're going to fix with that times 10 times 2.
See what armor abilities make it.
Yeah, I hope Sly doesn't. It's just taking up a button that doesn't need to be there.
Yep.
And hover.
Yeah. back to hover. There's going to be, I don't think there's going to be much in terms of changes to hover. I think it's a nice addition in there. I do think that the hover, the timing might get tweaked. I think you're being able to hover is a little on the long side. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I didn't like it, so I don't really care.
I don't want hover, and I don't want Titan Pound from Destiny into...
Oh, gosh. Well, that's the next one we're getting to. That's the next one we're getting to.
They're related in my book.
They're separate to me. Maybe cousins, but I think they're kind of separate.
They're cousins that are incest.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Okay.
I think we need to insert that rating right about now.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Even the Haas to screw things up.
Back to Hover.
I'm kind of neutral with Hover. Like, I don't think it's necessary, but I mean, I thought it was pretty fun to use. Along with, I think we're getting to ground pound soon, but I enjoyed that very much.
I felt Hover was useful when I was sniping, when I was jumping up and I was trying to get over that one spot I couldn't see, and then like I jumped up real quick and I. But it kind of takes the fun out of getting that quick shot in too, so it can kind of go both ways.
It messed up my crouch jump. That's what was so frustrating. I would try and crouch jump, and then I'd be like hovering for some reason. And it's like I'm just floating there waving at people. Hey, shoot this guy. I'm the idiot. It bothered me. I'd be like, oh, I need to stop. Well, that's like an extra second. I was just floating in the air doing my parade wave. I just... Oh man, it frustrated me.
I used it a lot in Breakout. If I actually before when I got to play it at the press event, I used that to get so many kills at the BR.
I got killed while using it in Breakout. Like I couldn't like any time I sit there, like I died instantly. I'm like, golly.
Was it by a BR?
How is it that you're gonna sit there? Oh, absolutely. You know it's BR.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a risk reward thing.
Yeah, it's a reward that I'd rather stay my feet on the ground. Okay. I'll be all right.
See, I turned off the, like, toggle the hover thing, but it still frustrated me.
To be honest with you, if that toggle thing wasn't on, I don't even think I even knew hover existed. Apart from seeing it, like, in, like, the Halo videos, that's about it. Like,
Still hover if you had it off. It would still hover when you crouch jump, like I was saying. It just... it messed me up. It messed up my pacing, to put it
lightly. So were the control settings for the hover bugged then? Is that what you're saying?
It could have been.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because there was supposed
to
be...
Because it was different. Because before I turned it off, it was, you know, the more traditional hover. But when I had it on off, well, I can't remember which way I had it set. But however I had it set, then if I tried to crouch jump, if I... held my crouch button in the air, because I often just kind of out of old habit, I crouch when I jump, I kept getting stuck in midair.
So there was supposed to be an option in the control settings where you could turn off the automatic hover, like completely.
Yes, so holding your crouch button would make you hover. That would be... Yeah, so that
turned it off that, while you were zoomed.
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
I don't know.
I think that another reason why I don't mind hover is because I'm so used to using jetpack from Halo Reach and Halo 4 that it feels like a cousin to the jetpack. You can't jump up really with it, but I'm used to like floating in midair and getting shots on people. So that, I guess, for me is one of the reasons why I really like it, is because of how it kind of reminds me of jetpack.
I didn't like jetpack. I felt that...
screw you too, Bio.
Hey, we're entitled to our own opinions, dude. But I know, like in I know. Halo, it, like it,
but
in,
still, screw you. Know,
jetpack, love you too, Dust. But no, in Reach, jetpack was just annoying. Like to me, it was the most annoying thing in the world. Like I just granted, if anything, it was more sniper kills. But I stayed away from anything. Like I don't know. It jetpack, I'm glad it's gone. Hover could be its replacement, and I'm all right with it, but...
I don't know. Hovering gave me a pounding headache. Speaking of pounding...
You intentionally set up that sentence just to segue to the next one. So, yes.
Easy, dude.
Oh, my gosh.
Ground pound is our next one. That one, I don't care for that much. I really don't. It's so I like the concept of being able to kind of like use your thruster pack to hit an enemy, but
plow your fist into the skull. Yeah, that's a great idea.
It's a cool idea on paper. I'd love to see it in a movie. But like in terms of the game, you can't make it stronger because then you're going to get into the I'm copying Destiny field, and Halo needs to avoid that as much as they can.
Yeah.
And it just the limited range on it, or well, the range of the attack hurting person just doesn't feel strong enough, but you can't, I don't know how you can really buff it at all. Like it didn't feel right.
It was interesting. It was an interesting concept. I found it useful in some cases, especially when I was jumping off higher things. I know that's what it is, but I've seen people just jump up real quick with hover and then ground pound. Like, that was annoying. But I only used it maybe 3 times. And all those 3 times, like, I got really excited. I'm like, oh, I got it. Like, it was a rewarding feel, but
it was rewarding. Because it was a one kill by a wolf god during the beta.
Shut your mouth.
Don't lose yourself.
Aww.
So is that the reason why I got, like, most of the time I was on the top leaderboards? Yeah.
Nobody counts Breakout as a game type.
Okay.
Dang.
Because that was the one game type that 343 was debuting through this whole thing.
Just because you suck at it doesn't mean that it's not a game type.
Yeah, I'd rather play zombies. And I don't even like zombies.
Oh,
my wolf just likes it because there's no shields and he has a chance with his internet.
Shut up.
How's your gerbil?
Squirrel. It's a hedgehog.
Hamster.
Oh, you upgraded, huh?
You do not have a hedgehog.
Hey, look, it's squirrel.
Oh, okay. I just don't like the ground pound at all. And the only time I ever used it, I like forced myself to use it and there were no enemies around because I just didn't. I felt it was more of an advantage for me to shoot the person underneath me than to jump up, aim, and hope I hit that person.
Okay, so why were you why'd you force yourself if you could shoot
like
somebody?
So I was like jumping around off a ledge, there's nobody around, and I'd be like, "Heh, let me do this just to
try it out."
You sucked at it so bad you couldn't get anybody, so you tried it out.
I just didn't care about it. It was we'll get to the other ability later, but it was kind of like the shoulder charge. I just didn't.
Yeah.
I don't see. It felt like more of a discipline for doing it unless the person was all alone, like out in Timbuktu, nowhere near his teammates. Because if you did that near his teammates, you're screwed.
Yeah.
If they're the least bit aware.
Every time I found myself in this situation where it would have been an option, I would just drop behind the people and backsmack them.
Yeah, or shoot them.
Assassinate them, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, they're at too steep of an angle to shoot because, you know, the bridge gets in the way or whatever. And, you know, you can't get a clean shot on them, I should say. You know, I just drop off the bridge down behind them and, you know, hit them in the back of the head. You know, I just don't see a good use for it. You know, I did try it, you know, just to see how the mechanic worked. And, you know, don't get me wrong, it's a neat mechanic, but I just couldn't find a way to actually work it into my gameplay.
My friends.
Overall, I'll keep going.
No, sorry, go ahead.
You haven't talked enough. Your turn.
Sorry.
Yeah, come on, Josh.
I think
you got to hate somebody. Or something now.
Yeah. So I think ground pound's kind of like assassinations. Like it's something you can do, but it's all about if you want to humiliate the person or if you just want to get a quick kill. But once you do get a ground pound, it is satisfying.
The thing with the ground pound is though that I've gotten a few pretty much direct hits and it still hasn't killed them. And I've gotten to where, like, I'm pretty close, but then they just turn around and take me out.
Yeah, you kind of have that stun at the, like, I'm so cool, watch my fist into the ground for a second.
Fail, and
now I'm going to shoot you. No, you're dead, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It needs to really be worked out. if they really want to consider keeping that in there.
Penalty for
worked out of the game would be great.
It's like the penalty for when you actually choose to assassinate someone over, you know, a beatdown. You know, while you're in that assassination animation, you're vulnerable to, you know, fire.
See, but sometimes I get stuck in that assassination animation, which angers me. And I'm not, I want to just quick melee them. I want.
Yeah.
And that's what's. Yeah. That's
I think we can confirm that Toss is just an angry person.
No, I'm a happy soul.
Only when he's around you, Bio.
Well, the deal with, you know, the assassination is it all boils down to how you approach your target.
Yeah.
If you approach from, in certain angles that you approach your target, you will just do a beatdown. If that angle is just a little bit off, you'll go into the full assassination animation. It also is dependent on how long you hold the melee button as well. So, you know, it's an art to learn to be able to do a beatdown separate from an assassination. And by no means can I pull that off on a reliable basis.
It's supposed to be
most of the time.
That's supposed to be just button duration, because I've haven't had a problem with it in Halo 5.
Yeah.
I think and sometimes it's like it's tricky because you think you actually don't hold the button for too long, but you actually just hit that trip timer for the assassination, and it's very close. I think it's about the same. I think it's about the same as it was in Halo 4. Halo Reaches was you had to hold it for a little bit longer than Halo 4 and Halo 5, or at least it kind of feels that way. But yeah, I think it's just making sure you tap the button instead of holding it a little bit longer, because that's how it's worked in the past. So I don't imagine they would change that system.
Well, it also, the assassination system is always dependent on the angle of approach as well, as far as which animation you go through. You know, some of the animations are faster than others.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a balancing act.
Going back to the whole ground pound thing, though, I just don't think the way it's currently implemented that there's enough reward for the risk.
True. And I agree with you on that. I just, honestly, you know, any situation I would see to use ground pound is, yeah, same situation I would use a beatdown or an assassination.
I don't know. What do you guys think, Josh, Bio?
As for beatdown assassination?
No, for the use of ground pound. Oh. Do you think it is similar to, like, being able to assassinate versus melee? Because, I personally don't think it is, but...
I mean, it's all about the way you want to kill somebody. Is it quick, or do you just want to show off?
I just think from a showing off perspective, though, it doesn't seem that effective, because you don't really have any good guarantee of killing them if you actually do get a hit, or being able to effectively take them out after you do ground pound. I mean, half the time I tried ground pounding, I landed so far away from the person that we basically just started a one-on-one battle when I could have just got the jump on him, shooting him and finishing him off.
I think it's primarily kind of like ninjas. Like, I'm not very good at ninjas, but when people can pull them off, it's incredible. And so I'm hopefully looking forward to like montages in the future that are just like ground pounds, and people can like get really accurate with them. And it's all about the timing. So personally, I think they're really cool to get kills with, but that's just me.
I think they're cool, but I kind of wish, like with the assassination, the press of the button has to be longer. It has to be a certain time to initiate it, where if I just tap it, I can't accidentally go into that assassination. And with the ground pound, I don't know how it fits.
I think the charge up is too long.
For the assassination?
No, for the ground pound.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's too long, but it's too long because you have to aim it. And that.
No. I'm talking about like the moment from when you start hitting the button to when you can let go of it and do a ground pound. I think that's a little too long. And I think on top of that, though, the time window for you to do a ground pound is also too long. I think you can hover for way too long in that.
I feel that if the ground pound, like, I like the animation if the, it was like that, I like that long animation if it got that one kill. Like if you immediately killed somebody with that ground pound, I think it'd feel a little bit more rewarding. Like the assassination, like you have, like you, when you assassinate somebody, you know they're gonna die unless you get yoinked, which is incredibly annoying. But if you get that, like if you're guaranteed a kill, if you get that reticle on that person and you know they're gonna die, I think the ground pound would be a little bit more better. But when I used it, I got out of the two to three, the two out of the three times I got a kill, that one last time, I got the thing right on top of the dude and it got his shields down. That was about it. And then I got killed. So if they enhance the damage on it to where it does kill him instantly, I think that'd be great. But people are going to go against that and say, you know, that shouldn't be a one thing kill. So it's a good concept. I like the concept, but they need to do some work with it.
Now, that's interesting what you guys just both said. If they were to reduce the time you're up in the air for the ground pound initially, and they do make it like a direct confirmed kill, maybe that would be something worth testing out.
Well, I feel that the animation of being in there a little bit longer should be in there. Because you can, the person that's going to sit there and hear that, the thrusters or whatever it is that they're going to do, has time to react.
Oh, true.
You know what I mean? Like,
I've thrusted out so many different ground pounds.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, if they make it to where you instant kill somebody, the thrust, the run, like, the reaction time of it having a longer animation will balance it out a little bit more. You could shoot, like, someone could shoot them or snipe them out of the sky if need be. Like, I think the damage needs to be increased a lot. I think that's something that they're going to have to use. Because, I mean, there's other people say that they've gotten one, they've used that ground pound and they killed him instantly. I'm not one of those people, but I don't know. It's
a touchy subject. I mean,
yeah,
you know, there's, you know, personally, I would probably use it more if the load or the setup animation was a little shorter. As far as, you know, how long it took to get the height to get the ground pound going, you know, maybe if there was a little bit more movement in the reticle, as far as, you know, the effective area, you know, I might use it more.
Okay, so you just mentioned, you know, something,
if I was guaranteed,
that I want to bring up, but go ahead, finish. I'll bring it up after you're done.
Okay, you know, and you know, the fact that, yeah, I'm guaranteed that I'm going to kill the guy if I get within a hitbox, you know, around him. I'm not saying, you know, do a wide area of effect where, you know, you can potentially affect multiple players, but, you know, then, you know, I might be able to integrate it into my playstyle.
About the moving around thing, I don't know for you guys, but for the Halo 4 control scheme, if I was holding ground pound, which is, I guess, B, I would have to take my left thumb and put it on my right thumbstick to look around.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pain. And that was actually a Twitter conversation that I got into with Green Skull and, what was it, Euphorics or maybe Saucy Source. And we were trying to figure out what other button would be useful for doing the ground pound. I think we came up with maybe doing like both the bumpers or something. Because it's just inconvenient.
Yeah. Running the green thumb, you push down on the right thumbstick. So your thumb is still actually on the stick. And you can, you know, as long as you hold your thumb down, you can still, you know, target.
Right, but that's green thumb.
And not have to take your... Yeah, that I'm not saying... I'm just saying that that's the one I use. So I did not run into that particular problem, but I can see where it would be an issue.
Oh, no. I just found that one was kind of annoying. I think there's a better way to do it.
Both ways.
Huh?
Yeah. I think it could go both ways. I mean, I think people can, like for the ground pound or whatever, they can go and like they can keep it in if they do stuff with it. But I'd be fine with it if they did take it out. I think the only reason why I like it so much is that you do get that rewarding feel when you do kill somebody with it. I think that's the only reason why I like it so much. I mean, I think that's the reason why I like assassinations too, because like if you get that one assassination, you don't have anybody kill you. It's pretty cool. I can't tell you the amount of people that like freak out then when they do get it.
Oh yeah, I always appreciate it when I can pull off an assassination and not die or get yoinked.
Yeah.
Oh my yoinked.
Yoink. So we have one more, and that is the Spartan Charge.
Mm.
So for me on this one, I think the stun, or there needs to be a stun implemented instead of just kind of gently pushing back somebody. Because I think for this one too, there's not enough reward for the risk. Because in one of my last games, I was gunning down somebody and they were charging me. They got the Spartan Charge on me. And right after they got the charge on me, I bopped him in the head and he died. Because I could still shoot after he charged me. So I think there needs to be something implemented on the Spartan Charge to where it induces some kind of stun on the receiving player if it's a successful connect.
Yeah. I had a couple of people do the same thing to me. One of them, you know, I caught him on the radar approaching me. I turned around in the middle of the Spartan Charge. I just meleeed and killed him.
Right.
And, so, you know, I didn't fire any shots. I just meleeed him and killed him.
I think Shoulder Charge is right along with Sprint. I never used it, and I don't feel the need to use it. I mean, if like you said, if it had a little bit more rewarding, like a more of a reward for it, besides you like doing that whole animation thing. I mean, granted, it's quick, but it's useless. Like, I don't know. The only thing I found was when you're out on Empire pushing people off the side with a sniper.
Okay, I gotta go along with that real quick. What do you guys think about the effect that grenades have on people?
Oh my gosh. So overpowered, those grenades.
Yeah, especially when teammates throw them in the back of your head and then you die instantly and you're wondering what's going on. Your teammates'
grenades didn't hurt you.
Yeah, your teammates... Well, yeah, there's no friendly fire.
Yeah.
Maybe your own grenades?
I promise you. No, it wasn't my grenades. The teammate threw... I got gameplay of it. I'm going to have to show it. Okay. My own teammate threw a grenade at me and it killed me.
The grenade hitting you killed you or the blast killed you?
The blast.
Neither should have killed you.
Well, then something messed up because I died, and it wasn't by my own hand, I promise you that.
Well, basically what I'm talking about is the effect, the kinetic effect that it had on your Spartan.
Mm.
Yeah, not the damage it put out, but the fact that you could throw a grenade at somebody and literally blow them off the map.
Yes, that you could do that.
The grenades, they need to cool down a little bit. They're a little too...
It's a little too powerful. Too much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you get
The grenade
cleaned up so quickly?
Yeah, the grenade damage I didn't have so much a problem with. It was the effect that it had on your Spartan as far as moving you.
Oh, even the damage I had an issue with. Because you could...
Yeah.
Because I remember being able to stand on top of a freaking frag grenade in Halo 4, and I wouldn't die. Now, granted, I think that was a little underpowered, but in Halo 5, I could be... like 5-7 feet away from a grenade, and it would kill me with full shields in Halo 5. It's a little ridiculous how powerful these grenades are.
I can't say that I actually tried to do a grenade jump, so.
I never tried to do a grenade jump, but just playing so much and seeing how those grenades were just so overpowered, it seemed really ridiculous that you could take that much damage from a grenade even being that far away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it was like, the grenade was 2 or 3 feet from you, that's one thing. If you're standing on top of it, that's one thing. But when a grenade is like 10 feet away from you and you're dying with full shields and full health, that doesn't quite make sense.
I was just curious as to what people thought of it. Josh, go ahead and go ahead with your thought before you forget what it was.
I think I already did. What were we talking about like just prior to that?
Spartan Charge.
Yes. Personally, I like them like building up the momentum and like kind of knocking somebody out and lowering their health. But I do think that the stun would be pretty interesting, to incorporate. Cause Dustin, you were right. Like there wasn't a whole lot you're getting out from it. Like you have to build up a little bit of speed just to get that. And you're risking them just like thrusting back and shooting you before you even get to them. So I think there needs to be a little bit more reward.
Definitely agree.
Kill out of the question?
I think from the front, I don't think, well, maybe not.
I think if you're going to be ballsy enough to sprint across a map, and your opponent is not paying attention or your team's not paying attention enough to call about some guy that is sprinting across the map with no regard for anything else, they deserve to be killed.
Yeah, it's kind of like a suicide grunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for you don't die.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get to kill the person that is
could have very well
wandering
killed
around with their head cut off.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like the player that's sprinting across the map is penalized enough because they are sprinting across the map with no regard for anything else. The only time I did it is, you know what? We got 49 kills. I'm going to be cocky because I let that, you know, happen. And I'm going to run and try and kill this guy. And I did it and I hit him. It didn't kill him. But like, I kind of had like this odd stun or like delay between when I could turn around and shoot him. And I ended up dying because, well, his teammates were paying attention, but they weren't paying attention until I had already made it across the map and smack this guy in the mouth. Beowulf laughs because he's been there.
Yep.
Well, I think as far as the damage output on it, I think it ought to be treated similar to a melee.
It is already that way.
I should say similar to
it's already that way,
original melee.
It's already,
I'm running 70 miles an hour, and I'm going to just take your 40. Shields down? Well, somebody in the chat said 70.
Linda's top speed was 70, but she was a freaking freak of nature.
Kelly was a fastest.
She was a
kilometers.
Miles
per hour. Kilometers.
See, we need to be talking kilometers. American.
Yeah, okay. Everything.
Still, if I'm going 40 miles an hour, if I get hit by a car that's going 40 miles an hour, chances are I'm dead.
Well, you're also not wearing Gen 6 armor either.
Okay, if I'm wearing pillows and I get hit by a car going 40 miles an hour, I'm dead.
But you're going faster than that technically with the thruster pack, because the thruster pack is making you go faster than as fast as you could sprint.
So I'm like instantly jumping up to that 60 to 80 range.
Okay, if I could fall out of space and hit the ground and live.
Can't swim.
But you can't swim. I would just say, you know, treat it like the old melee, you know, the old melee system. If you get caught from behind, it's an insta kill. If they hit you in the front,
the thing is,
peel your shields off and a stun.
I think if I'm going across the map, though, that's like insult to injury. And let's not think about people's feelings here. Okay, let's think about the awesomeness of my own selfish pride of just making somebody look foolish. The T-Bag had its time. It still does, especially when you're playing Beowulf. But it's time to graduate from that and add a new way to insult to injury.
Wow.
And running across a map and hitting this guy in the head because he's not paying attention would do that for me.
So I think that it already is kind of resembling the melee system anyway, because you from the front, you can't kill them, and from the back, you can. It might be a little more damage than melee currently is, but you would expect for something like that where you're risking to sprint up to somebody without shooting and then charging them, you would expect the reward to be greater. So I think that kind of idea of possibly it's a one-hit kill if you connect no matter what, I would actually like to see that idea toyed around with.
Me too.
On that note, I think, does anyone else have anything else to add to that?
Yeah, I had a random thought about the whole teabag graduation thing. I think the teabag kind of graduated in Halo 4 with the hologram. I mean, that was pretty good.
Halo 3 when they would stick between your legs so you could lift their head.
Oh.
That was great. See, if that came back, I'd be happy. I'd be satisfied with that.
Yeah,
I wouldn't ask for an instant kill if they added that back in.
I graduated from teabagging when I just found out that my gift is sticking people. I guess that insult to injury, if anything else. I stick dust all the time in 3. He gets pissed.
Oh my
funny.
Gosh, his stickies are so annoying.
Well, it probably wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't cross map sticks.
Oh my gosh.
Hey.
Bio is like a sticky god.
Well, he only knows where his left trigger is. He's still trying to figure out what the other buttons do.
You're still trying to figure out Breakout, so I'll leave it to that.
So sure. I think we came to the conclusion that they need a new Spartan ability that has to do with teabagging.
Maybe. Mm. Like, you can, like, pick a person up, like Mortal Kombat Fatality, and you throw them up in the air, and then you jump on them in midair, and then squat on their face all the way down to the ground. That'd be sweet. And then their head explodes.
Oh my gosh.
So the whole teabagging thing, though, is, at least from the beta perspective, it's kind of a moot point, because as soon as you die, you're fading to black.
Yeah, we need to go back
to the for Breakout. You have to
stare at your lifeless body for a couple seconds.
I've heard a lot of people complaining about that.
We'll talk about that. We'll probably talk about that either next week or the week after when we talk about the HUD and the UI stuff. But that's something that kind of, yeah, like you said, annoyed a lot of people.
Mm.
Yeah. It's my Halo and I want it now.
Technically, it's 343's Halo. You're just buying a license.
This is debatable.
You're just buying a license to use it. If we want to get all technical.
It's not yours yet. You haven't actually paid for it yet.
No, even still, whenever you buy the game, it's you're buying the license to use the software. You don't actually own the game.
Technicality.
It's a game for the fans.
Me and Dust are going to have a long talk. If I pay for something, it's in my hands. No, yeah, I'm definitely, it's mine.
They don't give you permission to modify the code. They don't give you permission to hack it and use it online. You're purchasing a license to use the software as is.
Thanks, my friend.
No, that doesn't exactly stop a lot of people.
No, it doesn't, but, you know.
True.
From a legal perspective, it protects them.
Although I have to admit it, that some of them have come up with some really good stuff.
That's for sure definitely true.
Mm. I mean, well, the mini Spartan thing in Halo 4, let's throw that on the table.
Sure. That was actually a 343.
No. No, it was not.
Oh, that was a mod.
That was a mod.
Yeah, it was a mod.
That was a mod.
Yeah, it was a mod.
Same thing that they used.
343 used the mod. And they just gave it the 343 official branding, so it was okay to use.
No, I thought 343 created the mod.
No, that was a community mod.
Oh, I misunderstood that then.
Well, apparently, I think it's like the same. I don't know how it all works, but the way I heard from people, the overall idea they saw the concept, but they were able to do it, and that's why the people who got into the code were able to do it. As well, I'm not sure if they use like Modio or whatever, some kind of program that I guess 343 was also familiar with.
There were some settings within the game type specific elements that could be changed to make the Spartans mini, and that's what the mods found. And then 343 went in and created their own mod of it based off the same idea. So it was a community based. Mod that started the idea, and then 343 went and made an official one. But if you look at the difference between the modded version and 343 version, they're pretty identical.
Yes, definitely.
Pretty freaking close.
And I think that's something they should take into consideration more often relating to matchmaking. Matchmaking doesn't always have to be competitive. You always need kind of the action sack type game types, especially
party games. Is what you need.
Yeah, well, the thing to one me, I'm addicted to in MCC is H2A basketball, which I would love to see in matchmaking.
Well, another thing that was in Halo 4, which I'm kind of sad that they didn't really use the extensibility that they implemented into Halo 4 a lot more, but people were making race mods. People made a mod for Stockpile for a Headhunter. Yes. And, I mean, the ability for people to actually go and do that with the game types, they had
It says something.
Yeah, it definitely says something where there's the openness there and the ideas there. Why don't they expound upon those ideas? Maybe let the community kind of, you know, make some new stuff with it, kind of open that up from an official standpoint and let people go to town with making fun custom games.
Yeah, they had gun game in there. They had sharpshooter. And you mentioned Headhunter. That was a blast. There's some good game types.
I really hope that the Action Sack style playlist comes back. Because, you know, I actually, you know, in Reach, I loved that because, you know, every couple of weeks you'd have a whole slew of new game types.
Another thing that really kind of bothered a lot of people, too, is that the flood mode, like the infected mode, they weren't able to pick up weapons. And that's something that a lot of people modded in, too. That grew a lot of, a lot of game types, too. Like, I think they need to be a little bit more open-minded on what to do for certain game types. Like, Reach had a lot. Like, I like Stockpile, I like Headhunter, and, like, those were just things that they made.
So, I think that's going to cover it for us tonight, just because we spent almost 2.5 hours just talking about Spartan abilities, and half of that being Sprint.
Yes.
But we're going to definitely be talking about more Halo 5 stuff coming soon. Our next show will definitely be more Halo 5 stuff. Depending on who we get on, we'll determine on what specific topics we'll talk about, but we still have weapons to go over. We still have map design. We have the UI elements. We have spectator mode. We have some Forge stuff to talk about. There's lots of things that we can talk about. So you're going to have your hands full of long episodes for quite a while. And we actually had some good numbers on the stream tonight, too. So that was awesome. In the chat, you guys are rocking it, dude. And dudettes, you guys are awesome in here. I really appreciate it. Any last comments on the Spartan abilities before we kind of wrap this chapter up in the Halo 5 beta?
No slide, no hover, no ground pound.
I can concur with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree to disagree with Haas. They all need to go back in. That's what they need to do. They just need to improve on ground pound and slide. They can get rid of hover if they can do whatever. They can stay and leave for me. Like, I don't really care.
Godzilla, Josh, anything?
Yeah, I think there's just some tweaking and adjusting that needs to be done. But overall, yeah, it just needs a little bit of work.
Godzilla, anything?
Overall, I like the Spartan ability package. It's a nice change from the armor ability setup. I think, you know, it puts everybody on an equal footing. So I like that part of it. You know, slide, it could be there, it could not be there. Wouldn't make any difference to me. I like the hover, the Spartan charge, and ground pound. I haven't found a use for them yet, but I'm sure with some tweaks that they could be useful. But overall, I like the Spartan ability package over the armor ability stuff.
Yeah, I think they did a lot better. So for me, Sprint's good. Need to be tweaked a little bit. Spartan charge needs to be buffed. Ground pound, take it out. Hover, I'm kind of indifferent right now. Slide, take it out. Clamber's good. Thruster pack is good, but needs to have a longer delay and more, and that also tied into shield regeneration. So that is going to wrap it up for us tonight. I want to give a thanks to Josh or Ola or Halo or however you guys call him for being on the show. Thanks for coming out. You want to kind of plug your YouTube and your social medias?
You can check me out on YouTube, youtube.com/0IAH. And I'm going to try to upload a lot more frequently in the upcoming weeks. And I have like Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You guys can check me out there as well. But overall, thank you so much for having me. It was a ton of fun.
Yeah. Hopefully you can come on for some of our other follow-up Halo 5 talks. We're going to have lots of stuff to talk about. And if you guys want to stay on top of that, just make sure you go to our website and subscribe to us on iTunes, Zune, via RSS, wherever you can find podcasts. I think we're up on Stitcher as well, Zune Marketplace, somehow, however you get that working. And you can come join us live on Thursday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's when we do our live shows and interact with you, our audience. Tonight we actually had some pretty interesting chat, so maybe a little bit of a forewarning that some of the stuff you will see in the chat would be a little off the norm from what you would expect, but we're all nice, we don't bite. I think at least most of us don't. but we would love
much.
Yeah. We would love for you to come over to our Twitch stream and come chat with us. Check it out. It's a lot of fun. You can also check out our game nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Wednesdays and Tuesdays. Tuesday is our Tactical Tuesday, which is our matchmaking nights, and we're all back in the Master Chief Collection now since the Halo 5 Guardians multiplayer beta is over. And then Wacky Wednesday is the Wednesday night, and that is when we go and do our customs, which unfortunately this week we had to scrap because Xbox Live was sick, like a dog. It was bad. Not sure why the fart noise is any
diarrhea.
Thank you for this extra sound bit.
Yay, potacular.
Moving on. Make sure you guys head over to our forums. We have some good to threads talking about Halo 5 stuff and the Master Chief Collection. So if you guys are looking for some good discussions, we'd recommend you guys going over there. And if you have any feedback on Halo 5 Guardians multiplayer beta that you would want us to kind of include in our big submission that we're going to be sending to 343 here in about a week or so, then drop us a line in the forums. Let us know what you think about the beta. Give some good positive or negative feedback. Anything that is constructive with some good sound reasoning behind it is the best way for 343 to make good changes to the game, to what we all would like to see. So go on over to the forums and do that, or you can obviously go over to the Waypoint forums and leave something over there as well. They're monitoring that closely. Also, any replies to their Twitter and that kind of stuff as well. So as much feedback as you guys can give, I cannot stress how important it is to take full advantage of the opportunity that 343 has given us with how early this beta is, how open and receptive they are to feedback, to really change the way that we see the future of Halo. So take every advantage you can, but make sure you guys are approaching it with a critical mindset and giving good, valuable feedback and not just saying this thing sucks or I don't like this without giving any reason as to why. So with that, make sure you go do that. It's important. Very important. You can check out our social media sites. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all that fun stuff. And if you're going over to YouTube, please check out Godzilla T's new video series, Achieving Halo. First one, Pillar of Autumn, is out, and it's a really good achievement guide. I think he did a fantastic job with it. It's a little bit different than your standard achievement guides, and I think you guys will really enjoy it. So please go check that out. It's about 22 minutes long, so nothing too bad to sit through. And of course, he'll be coming out with the rest. Hopefully, you'll be done by the time Halo 5 comes out.
We'll hope.
Yeah, it's. I mean, good luck. I hope you get there before Halo 5 comes out. But I know how much time it takes to get through a legendary run of campaign levels sometimes.
Halo CE, Halo 3, and Halo 4 won't be so bad. It's the Halo 2 runs that are going to be the hardest.
Halo 2 is a hard
beast,
hard game.
Can we not talk about it, Dust? Because it hurts.
Where,
so
show us Halo where 2 hurt videos you.
Ew.
Breaks me down. Clean up on IL Biowolf.
Oh, gosh. Oh, dear. What have I started?
Friendship.
I don't know, but it's spreading.
Well, we might want to make the spreading stop pretty soon. I don't want to get I want to get our audience cross-contaminated. Or it may be too late on that. I don't know. Last order of business is to shout out to our podcast network. We are on thepodcast.com. That is thepodcast.com. With our sister podcast, Guardian Radio, Critzcast, How to Murder Time, and Work in Progress. I highly recommend those podcasts. They're some quality podcasts. Guardian Radio, of course, being the Destiny podcast, and Critzcast being the TF2 podcast. If you guys are looking for some other podcasts to fill your ear holes with some other gaming goodness, then I highly recommend you check those out. We've had both of them on the show before. They're wonderful hosts for each of their shows respectively, and I cannot recommend them enough. So please go check them out. Please give them a shout out. Let them know that we sent you, and just give them a good show, and just let them know how well they're doing over there. Again, if you're just looking for something general gaming wise, or just wanting to look for some other good quality podcasts, those are some good ones to look out for. And that'll wrap it up for us tonight. Thank you again, Josh, for coming on the show. We really appreciate you having been on here, and hopefully you can come out to some of our other Halo 5 shows that we'll be doing in the next few weeks.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me.
Definitely. And we'll hopefully have some more guests on for the next couple of shows. Again, we'll be continuing our Halo 5 discussions next week. Not sure what we're talking about yet. We'll probably move on to weapons or map or UI, something along those lines. Depends on what kind of guests we can get on. So make sure you guys check out our Twitter. We'll let you know the latest on that. And for tonight, thank you everyone for tuning in. Keep on fragging useless Spartan abilities.
Excellent timing.